Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website at kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, from bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. The pandemic has dominated so much in recent years, but as odd as it seems, COVID has actually been excellent news for a few pastimes and people. Take pickleball, for example. The enforced shutdown actually caused pickleball to take off in a big way. It's not that pickleball didn't exist before the pandemic, it's just that it wasn't all that well known on the Olympic Peninsula. But that changed almost overnight. And the change agent, the mother of Olympic Peninsula pickleball, is here today to tell us all about it. My guest today is Mary Critchlow, who was the driving force behind the creation of the Port Townsend Pickleball Club. So welcome to the show, Mary.
Well, thank you for having me.
I really don't know too much about the wonderful world of pickleball, but I know you're going to tell us about it. But before we get started on that, I always like to let our listeners know a little bit about the person and who they are and where they came from. Are you a local girl born and bred right here on the Olympic Peninsula?
No, I am not. But I am a Washingtonian.
Okay, so where did you grow up?
I was raised in Kennewick, Washington, in the Tri-Cities.
Okay, and what did your folks do?
My father was an attorney. My mother was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, and are you an only child?
No, there's five of us, and I'm the baby of the five.
The baby of the five. Okay. With your father being an attorney, was there sort of a push at home that you guys should all go to university?
Definitely. Yep.
Well, now, when you go to high school, the theory is you enter as a kid, you come out as an adult. And in my observation, that's not always quite accurate. But high school can be an important time. So what do you remember about it? Were you into sports or athletics, or were you just quiet, or what sort of were you?
Well, I was probably what you'd label maybe alternative, or maybe even as much as a misfit, in the sense that I didn't really fit in any true categories.
Okay, so you weren't in a clique.
Yeah, well, not really, no.
That happens. Okay, so did you graduate?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. And then what'd you do after graduation? Did you get a job right away?
Various things. I went to probably three universities on and off, uh-huh, with some work in between and some travel in between, until I finally got my teaching certificate later.
Okay. Before you go on, where did you travel to?
So that first year out of high school, I worked and then headed off to Europe. I wanted to originally go to the Winter Olympics in Innsbruck, Austria. I did that and then made my way down to Greece and got a job on a sailing yacht.
Oh, were you a sailor?
I was a sailor. I wasn't a sailor prior to that.
But wait a minute. How'd you talk your way onto the boat?
Yeah, I did. I talked my way onto the boat, and as a cook, no less, which I really didn't do. And so I ended up being kind of a mixture of a deckhand and a gopher for anything.
And how big a boat was it?
It was a 72-foot sailing yacht, a beautiful.
Whoa, sounds lovely.
Big sailing yacht. And so I ended up spending 7 months during the charter season out of Piraeus, Greece.
Wow, so that's fun. How many people would typically be aboard a boat that size?
I think we took maximum 11 charterers.
Huh.
So,
what an adventure.
Yeah, it was great, especially at age 18, 19. I was in heaven with adventure.
Wow. And but you didn't stay with that for years. You only said 7 months?
Just 7 months. Uh-huh. And then spent a little more time traveling in Europe, and then came home and went back to university until I finally kind of found myself later in my life when I decided to finish in PE and health and get my teaching certificate.
I see. So you must have been pretty athletic.
I was, and that was something that in this academic family, I never really understood about myself, that I was really inclined towards athletics and sports. And I think I felt that it wasn't really the accepted way to go in my family until later.
Well, so you got all the jock genes.
I did. I got it. But the whole family really did. We just didn't know it.
I see. Okay. So you got your degree and you started teaching. And where did you get your degree, by the way?
I ended up moving to Montana in 1978 and got married at that time and had a child.
Uh-huh.
And then ended up going back to school once I had this boy. And I guess I finished in 88, so,
uh-huh.
Yeah, at the University of Montana.
Oh, I was there for a bit, teaching.
Oh.
Ah. Okay, so did you stay in Montana and teach in Montana?
I did. I finished my degree in Missoula and then headed back up to Kalispell, where I'd been living, and taught there for about 23 years. In PE and health in the high school setting, primarily with ninth graders.
Okay.
And then did some coaching, too, especially in soccer.
Okay, and yeah. So your son grew up there.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after all those years in Montana, how did you ever end up in Port Townsend?
Well, so I had always, my brother has been living here for more than 30 years, I think, now. His name is Ben Critchlow. And he has been practicing law here as a public defender. He had been. So my son finished in law school at the University of Montana and made his way over to Port Townsend and got a job actually working where Ben worked as a public defender. And mm-hmm. So I'd been visiting here for many years, so had my son.
Right.
So when I decided to retire at about age 60, I made my way over here. It was 2014. And, it was really good to be close to both a brother and my son.
Okay. Here. And can you sort of remember your first impressions of the town? And, you know, having myself lived in both Montana and Port Townsend, I'm curious about your take on the differences between the two environments.
Yeah, you and I could probably sit down and talk about that. Because I think originally in just visiting here and just seeing it from a distance, I really felt it was a little different than my take in the end. Of course, we all do, I think, with that. But my original thought was it was extremely progressive and liberal and didn't really have much of a rural feel to it, a really rural feel like Montana does. Because once you get just outside of a place like Kalispell in Montana, there's some very different, there's a different aspect of life out there that I was very aware of teaching school there. And once I got to Port Townsend, I started substitute teaching and I learned about the whole community. And it was nice to know that there was a really integrated community in many more ways than I thought.
Hmm. Well, being an outdoors person, I know Montana, skiing is a passion out there. Were you into the snow sports kind of thing out there?
I was. I was a hockey player.
Ah, hockey.
And I kind of started an over 40 women's hockey team. And we used to play outside on a beautiful rink and under the lights sometimes and with the snow falling down. And it was really quite aesthetically pleasing, not to mention just sports-wise really invigorating.
Must have been a bit cold, too.
Yeah, cold. It can be very cold. And then I also cross-country skied and hiked and did lots of outdoor activities in Montana. I miss it.
Yeah, I would think you would. I mean, there are outdoor activities here, too, but hockey's not high on the radar in Port Townsend.
Right. No, not many people know about hockey very much. You have to go a long distance to go play hockey here.
Okay. Yes. And tell me, just because I'm really curious, did you really play outside all year round in Montana?
Hockey?
Yeah.
No, of course not, because, you know, we have high temperatures in the summertime. So there is refrigerated ice outdoors, but it takes too much to keep that cold in the summertime. So we played, though, 8 months of the year.
You know, that sort of surprises, your answer surprises me. I expected you to say it got a bit too cold to continue, but you're saying it got a bit too hot to continue.
Never too cold for ice hockey.
Okay. All right. So you were substitute teaching here in Port Townsend, and what did you teach?
So when you sub in the state of Washington, or most places, you can sub in usually in any classroom that you want to. So I subbed in every kind of classroom. I sometimes concentrated on PE and health because that's what I knew. But I was a math teacher one day and a science teacher the next day. And you know, it was really a good way to get to know the community and the kids here and families. And I appreciated doing it.
How did you manage to stay ahead of multiple subjects like that?
You don't.
Okay.
No, thank God that teachers leave you a really nice plan and you just go along with what they want you to do. It's classroom management is where the challenges are, just trying to build relationships with kids who are not necessarily wanting to get along with the substitute.
Right. And these were high school kids, you said.
I taught in any age group here when I was here. Yeah.
Okay.
Substituting. Yep.
Yeah. So I think, yeah.
But maybe primarily Blue Heron, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. That's a nice term, classroom management.
Yeah.
It means keeping them in line, right?
For a really difficult task. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be tough. When you were teaching, how large in general were the classes? How many kids?
Washington State has tried to keep it down, but it sometimes would creep up to as many as 32.
Wow.
And of course it's much more manageable maybe in the mid 20s.
Yeah. Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how did pickleball enter the equation? I mean, when did you first, let's start with your personal history of pickleball.
Okay. Well, growing up in the Tri-Cities, my mom, when I was high school age, being the youngest, she wanted to try to get all of the kids to come back to her home as often as possible. So she learned about pickleball and bought a net and paddles. Early in the 70s, she'd learned about it from some friends in Olympia, Washington, just shortly after it was created. And so she actually put lines on our in our driveway in our home and put the net up. And when we come home to visit, she'd kind of entice us to stick around by playing this great game of pickleball. I learned it way back in the 70s, and then I took it to Montana with me in the sense of I learned it enough to be able to teach it in my classes for 22 years. So it was a great sport to teach to high school students.
Okay. Now, I've got a feeling that some of our listeners have never even heard of pickleball. I mean, some of them may be members of your group, but we got a lot of novices out there. So just to start off, the name. Where does the name pickleball come from?
Oh, gosh. That's a funny story because people always want to use the story of the creators of pickleball had a dog named Pickles, and so they ended up calling it pickleball. But that's really not the real story. The real story is that one of the women of one of the wives of one of the founders used to be a rower, and there's something called a pickle boat that brings up the rear behind rowers. And so that's really how the name came to be, was because of the pickle boat.
Okay. Now, I did look up pickleball, and it, according to the all-knowing internet, said that the game was founded on Bainbridge Island in the 60s.
That's true. 1965 by these three men and their families. Yep, these three men were just kind of tired of their kids one day, and asked them to go outside and do something. And then the dads joined the kids. They'd picked up actual ping pong paddles and a wiffle ball and started playing with it over a badminton net. So these three men ended up creating this game and marketing it. It was 1965.
All right, Mary, many of our listeners have barely heard of pickleball, and if they've heard of pickleball, they don't know what on earth it is. So if you could sort of describe the game and how it's played, one factoid that I find helps me at least imagine it, a tennis court can fit 4 pickleball courts on it. So that gives us at least mentally an image of how big the playing field is. But beyond that, how do you play? What's the equipment do you need?
Okay, well, you have a paddle, and you have a wiffle ball, has holes in it, and that court is fairly small compared to a tennis court. It's 20 feet wide by 44 feet long. So usually you play doubles. You can play singles, but usually it's doubles. The idea is just to keep the ball in play, or not keep it in play, make sure that your opponents don't. And you're just hitting this little wiffle ball across the court on a hard surface. There's lots of little nuanced rules that are different than any other sport you've ever played. But it's really a really fun game. It's socially really fun because everybody plays, every generation plays each other, like a young great-grandchild might be playing against his 90-year-old grandma. So people are, and they can even be on kind of an equal playing field with their different ages and genders.
So how many points do you need to win a game in pickleball?
You play to 11 points, and you win by 2.
Okay, I get that. And you have a paddle and net and a wiffle ball. That's the equipment. So unlike something like skiing, where you need some fairly expensive equipment, or scuba diving, there's expensive equipment for you.
Right.
You don't really need that.
Nope. It's kind of comparable to tennis in the sense that you used to have all the courts in the urban areas that were just in the local parks. It's very similar to that you don't need much to get started.
So do you play it on indoors or outdoors, or what surface do you need to play it on?
So you have to have a hard surface, so it's primarily outdoors, but there's a lot of indoor venues that are going up across the world now. So you just need a high ceiling for an indoor venue.
A gymnasium would work.
Yep, gymnasium. We play at the YMCA.
So. Okay, so in Port Townsend currently, how many pickleball courts are there?
There are 3 venues. There's the Mountain View courts that are just got resurfaced recently, that the city has entered into a contract with our pickleball club and facilitated the resurfacing of these courts that we actually paid for, but they are letting us use them. There's the high school, and the school district has allowed us to paint 4 courts on 1 tennis court at the high school, which has been a nice agreement. And then there's the courthouse, has 2 new courts that were resurfaced by the county, and the Parks and Rec Department allowed us to, or they actually paid for the building of this new pickleball facility at the courthouse.
Okay, so you said earlier that COVID actually helped start the rage or the trend for a lot of pickleball. How did that happen?
What happened was that when people couldn't any longer go to their fitness facilities or indoor for most sports at all, they figured out, well, maybe we could stay outside and not expose each other to COVID through pickleball. And in the beginning, with the touching part of COVID, everyone worried that maybe touching the ball was a problem. But as soon as that dissipated, it became really a very safe sport to play. And there was very little exposure by any facilities. You looked up across the country, there nobody was getting COVID through pickleball. So people started playing like crazy. And
so tell us about the club. When did it start?
The club started 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We started our board then and started having our meetings and getting members. And now, so we had probably in the beginning maybe 40 players, and then it grew so that in these 3 years we're at about 200 players.
Wow. But there are others on the Olympic Peninsula too, right?
Yep, there's plenty of, there's a nice facility in Squim at the Cary Blake Park with an 8-court, a nice fence facility. And there's pickleball up in Port Angeles, of course down in Bainbridge, Gig Harbor, there's pickleball all over the peninsula.
Well, isn't there also a pickleball museum?
Yeah, in Bainbridge there's the pickleball museum, and you can go over and visit the old court where the original pickleball took place. And
where is it on Bainbridge?
Yeah, ooh, good question. You know, I've never been there.
But, oh, no.
that's terrible. But, you know, you see all these videos of
yes.
the original founders playing
right.
pickleball.
Okay, right? That would be fun. But it's not just here in the Pacific Northwest. It's spread right. throughout the country and even the world. Do you have any estimates on that?
Yeah. So when I first started playing in the here in 2014, there were probably about 1.5 million players in 2014. And then just before COVID, it went up to about 2.5 million. And now, after COVID, it's at 4.8 million. And these are all just in the U.S. But there's 70 countries playing it now because they're trying to make it an Olympic sport. And we need 8 more countries to be involved in order to get 78 countries involved to make an Olympic sport.
Now, I never knew that. So if yeah. you have 78 countries participating in something, you apply to make it an Olympic sport?
I guess so.
That's, yeah. that's pretty amazing. I didn't know that would happen. But then again, in the past decade or so, they've added a number of things, all the skateboard things.
Yep.
And you know, lots of new things, so why not pickleball? I'm all for it.
And with all these new pickleball leagues that are coming up too, it's going to grow really, really quickly. Like LeBron James just bought a pickleball league just recently, and Tom Brady just started his own team in that league. And so all these, you know, both professional athletes and celebrities are starting to play, and that's really ramped it up too.
There are tournaments now, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. There's tournaments all over, and especially in these pro leagues. But we play here locally in tournaments in Washington State or in other places in the United States. And we have plenty of players involved in tournaments.
Well, is there any planning for a tournament of our own?
Well, that's something that will come up. What we need to do is really finish getting a few more facilities right here in Port Townsend, and then we'll have maybe the 8 courts that we'll need where we can host a tournament.
To host a tournament, you need 8 courts. Is that sort of the rule?
That's kind of a minimum.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now, you mentioned earlier the city and the county have helped in the sense of allowing you to paint lines and have courts and everything. Or do you have ongoing meetings with local government?
Definitely. Yep, we do. And the city's been great just recently in cooperating with us.
So you've got ongoing meetings with local government here. And I could see how a tournament here in Port Townsend would be a real tourism opportunity for the city. It could attract a lot of visitors, and they'd be spending some money, right?
Yeah. It's a great opportunity for local businesses to bring in these tournaments. And a lot of people come in their RVs and park their RVs in the local parks, or they use the local hotels. And sometimes you can have as many as 300-400 participants.
Right.
And it really can bring a lot of business into community with people using restaurants and all the local facilities.
Okay, so if some of our listeners want to join the Pickleball Club or find out more, how would they do it?
Well, they can go to ptpickleball.com, and on that website, which is a pretty thorough website, it has all of our programs and activities and some of the free lessons that we give.
Yeah, that's another thing. You can get lessons. You don't have to magically acquire the skills. The club is very supportive about teaching beginners.
That's true. Yeah. We've had a lot of great volunteers over our 3 years of being a club of people who step forward to volunteer to teach others.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And I assume you yourself both play and maybe even teach.
I do. I play often, and I play a few tournaments and do teach lessons when people are interested.
And do you have a regular partner, or do you just
I do.
Vary?
I have a great partner. Her name is Shar Shroma, and she's been a great partner to participate in our local tournaments in the last few years.
Great. Well, it does sound like fun, and I think a lot of people are still looking for opportunities in a sport that is relatively easy to play, and it sounds like, as you said earlier, senior citizens can play it with teenagers if they want to.
It's so true, and people socially have so much fun, and well, I just hope that people will come out and at least watch it, if not try it themselves, and we hope to get you started. There's plenty of extra equipment, paddles, balls around, so you can just come and watch and see if you'd like to participate.
So you could show up at the courthouse, and some people might be playing, right?
Right, yep. And that's probably one of our better venues just to drop in, because we just put paddles up behind the other paddles, and you're the next one in.
Okay. And how much, what's the dues for the club?
$40 a year.
That's pretty good.
What that buys you is being a proud member of the PT Pickleball Club, but also you have access to our lock boxes where all our equipment is, because we only have one venue that has permanent courts. So we're putting up temporary nets at the other two venues until we get them set with some nets.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I really want to thank you for being on the show today. It really has been a treat to find out about pickleball. And by the way, do you get trophies for some of these things?
Oh, yes. Lots of medals. Yes.
Well, that's always good. All right.
Okay.
Well, Mary, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you for being a guest on Our Town. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today has been Mary Critchlow, who fanned the flames of pickleball here in Port Townsend. In addition to thanking Mary, I also want to thank Taylor Clark, editor and producer of Our Town. Many of you don't realize how important the role of an editor is on a show like this. He can edit out any mumbles, errs, you knows, whatever, making us sound so much more eloquent and smooth. I want to thank you, the listener, for sticking with KPTZ for the past decade, particularly for the past two pandemic years. I guess the COVID numbers are once again creeping up, so please go out and get vaccinated and boosted. Throw in a flu shot, too. I understand the flu is supposed to be particularly nasty this year. Ugh. So, listeners, keep listening. Stay safe. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. You're listening to Our Town. I'm Mary Ann McNellis, signing off for today. But please stay tuned to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Mary Ann McNellis and edited by Taylor Clark.